This is Photo Biz X, episode number 404. And today we are talking mini sessions, bizarre mini sessions, and how to create a successful and profitable campaign around your personal photography style. Our special guest is Penny Ryan, who has done exactly that, and her interview is coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the Photo Biz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. We are talking mini sessions, and in particular, mini sessions from a photographer who has relocated to a brand new location, didn't know anyone in the community. She had to rely on networking, press releases, branding, and her personality to put together the campaign she did. And in this interview, she's going to be sharing exactly how she did it. So that's coming up in just a minute. As far as me and my weekend goes, you'll know if you are up to date with the episodes that this one is a day later than usual. I was away racing my bike in Bathurst, New South Wales over the weekend. I did way too much. I can feel a sore throat coming on, which usually means I did push myself too far. There was a hill climb, a criterium, and a road race over three straight days. And then yesterday, somehow, I was talked into going for a run. Now, that's something I haven't done for years, which, if you've given running a try, you probably know the state of pain that I'm in right now. I can barely walk. It's ridiculous. 4Ks, and that was me done and dusted. But the plan is to add a little bit of running to the cycling, which I'm told will be beneficial to my aging bones, although it doesn't feel like it at the moment. Alrighty, that's enough about me. We're going to get into this interview with Penny in just a second. Don't forget, well, you probably... That's a silly thing to say because you don't know yet. But after this interview with Penny, I've got another update from Scott and Nicolette. You're going to love what they have to share today, I'm sure. These are always fun updates. I love when I get an email from Scott and Nicolette about what's been happening in their business. Their photography business coach is Mark Rossetto. And I hope he's going to be tuning in too because Scott is hitting him up for some free coaching after today's update. So that's after the interview with Penny, which we're going to get into now.
You're listening to Photo Biz Exposed with your host, Andrew Helmich.
And just quickly, if you are hearing this announcement, it does mean you are listening to the free version of the podcast. What that means is you will not be hearing the full interview today with Penny because I am saving a large portion of the second half for premium members only. So if you'd like to access the full interview with Penny, if you're at all interested in implementing a successful mini session campaign, you will want to hear the full interview with Penny. You can do that for as little as $1 with a premium membership. There's a 30-day trial available for $1 over at photobizx.com/try. With that trial membership, you get access to the full interview with Penny. You get access to the full back catalog. I'll send you an invite to the members' Facebook group so you can check that out and see what you're missing out on. And more importantly, or just as importantly, you will never be left without an idea on how to grow your business. You will never wake up and be thinking, what can I do next to improve my business? Because all you need to do is tune into one of the interviews, get some ideas, hear exactly how that photographer is having success with their marketing, their advertising, their sales, their branding, their mini sessions, whatever it may be, and then go and implement that into your business, or at least have it as something to come back to when you need to generate some bookings, leads, or sales. photobizx.com/try if you want to check it out for as little as $1.
Welcome to another great eye for business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest is Penny Ryan, who is based just outside of Melbourne in Australia. Now, we exchanged a couple of emails, which led to me asking her to record this interview today. She told me in that email that 2020 was going to be her year. She moved from Sydney in 2018, settled into life with two kids at new schools, bought a house, started building networks and contacts and working at growing her business. Then COVID hit. Now, when things opened up for her to work in December, she launched the Bizarre Christmas Sessions for both income and as a marketing tool. She photographed two weekends with 40 spots available, which were all sold prior. Still waiting on the final sales to come through as the last of the galleries were sent out yesterday, but she says she is absolutely thrilled. Now, Penny also told me that she rebranded or had a brand created for her when she moved to Melbourne, and it's given her the confidence in putting herself out there. The Christmas Bazaar mini sessions were a perfect storm of brand, marketing, messaging, and a collaboration with the local vintage bazaar. I'm rapt to have Penny with us to learn more about this and so much more about her business. Penny, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
I expected a much more enthusiastic thank you than that.
Oh, well, I'm just a bit nervous. I've not been interviewed for a podcast before.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
I talk a lot of rubbish at home, but yeah.
Not today.
Not on a podcast yet.
I've told Penny we have to uphold the standards of the podcast and she can't just make shit up.
Oh. All right. Well, it's going to be a very short podcast interview then.
So she's got a list of figures. She's going to share with us shortly. So just tell us, Penny, so first of all, the rebrand. So you had a photography business in Sydney. You moved to Melbourne. Why rebrand?
No, I moved to Castlemaine, which is a small country town outside of Melbourne.
Okay. Yeah. How far from Melbourne?
It's about an hour and a half.
Oh, okay. So Melbourne isn't where your clients are. Your clients are in Castlemaine?
Yeah, they are. Castlemaine and surrounds. And some in Melbourne, but mainly around this way.
Okay, so tell me about Castlemaine. Small country town? Like, what is it?
Yeah, so it's an amazing town with an amazing community. We wanted to leave the city, and so we wanted to come back to Victoria and be closer to family. We didn't want to live in the same town as our family, and we didn't want to move to Melbourne. We were trying to leave the crazy pace of Sydney, but Castlemaine's got everything we wanted. Like, we can go out and have a really nice meal. We can go to the pub and have, you know, a pub meal. It's not just a two-dog town. You know, it's got a really vibrant arts community. It's amazing. It's a really fantastic place to live. Yeah, we're all much happier here.
Nice. So is there traffic lights in Castlemaine? Like, is it big enough to have traffic lights in town?
Yes. Off the top of my head, I think we have two sets.
Right, okay. So it is a small town.
Yeah, it's about 8,000, but it feels bigger because we have a lot going on. We have a really big, well, we did, live music scene, and there's a lot of venues, and we're pretty close to Melbourne too. So, you know, it's an easy day trip. A lot of people commute to Melbourne. There's express trains. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So you had a photography business in Sydney. Is that right?
I did, yeah. So I kind of combined, you know, building my own business, but I also worked for other people. So I second shot weddings for big studios. I did a bit of graduation photography and, yeah, just had to fit it around life with kids.
Okay. But you, I mean, did you have a brand as such when you're in Sydney, or did you feel like you had a brand?
Well, no. I suppose I had a logo and I had a website, but I didn't have an overall, an overall brand. It hadn't really sort of been expanded, if that makes sense.
So, well, okay. Well, how would you describe your brand today?
My brand today, it's so good. It's so me, and that's what I needed. I think a lot of people create a brand and they think that, or sorry, they get a logo and it's very similar to everybody else. And, you know, there's trends on what looks good, like it's really whimsical, and now it's just gone back to clean type. And the designer that I used, you know, she creates a whole brand concept. And so I am my business. My business is me. So, yeah, I'm not explaining that very well, Andrew. But I think people look at my branding and they're like, oh, that's so you. Oh, my God.
Right. So I went to your website, and after we exchanged those emails, I had a look, and straight away I get a sense that you're going to be fun to work with. You're not going to be precious. You're going to have a pretty relaxed approach to photography. There's going to be lots of laughs. I mean, like on your homepage, you know, it says ace families, chilled weddings, dog people and business stories. I mean, already just the language you're using, it gives a sense of fun. So how do you get to that point? Is it just the designer that you work with, or do you do your own homework first and do, you know, read a book on branding?
No, I think I had the bones. I had the bones of it. So, you know, I was already using terms like ace families and small humans. It's just, it's my language. Yeah, I don't take myself too seriously. And, you know, when I talk to families, for example, about getting their photographs done, I always say to them, you know, when you come to me, I don't drop you into a cardboard cutout silhouette of how family should look. I want to find out, you know, how you guys communicate, what your kind of relationships are. And I want to, you know, send you away with a photo that is you, you know. And same when I do weddings, like I always say to the couple, you know, I'm not going to make you do anything you wouldn't normally do. I remember when my husband and I got married a long time ago, it was well before the internet, and all I could see was all these Vaseline lenses and people draped and arms, and that's not me at all. My husband says I'm the least romantic person you've ever met. So, you know, I say to my families, if you guys sit around and play board games, I'm not going to get you out rock climbing and jumping off sand dunes. Like, that's not you. So, yeah, and I think my branding really reflects that.
So how did you get your branding and, you know, your language over to the website? I mean, you said you had that in you already, but you must have had to communicate that to your designer, or did you work with a brand expert first?
Liz, who I use, has a really strong understanding of how brand identity works. And so, yeah, we had that discussion where we talked about how I am my brand, my business is me. And yeah,
No, it's making sense. So you sit down with Liz. How does Liz extract your brand from you to get it onto your website? Like, are you doing forms? Are you filling out questionnaires? Are you having a chat over a cup of coffee? How does she get ace families, chilled weddings, dog people, small humans? How does she get that out of you to get it onto your website?
I think I had a lot of that already, and she just tweaked it, and we came up with together the whole penny says. So, you know, I have postcards that I pop in with things that I send off to clients, and on the front it says penny says thank you. And then my gift certificates for sessions say penny doesn't say smile, and then it has a little disclaimer on the back that says working with penny will bring a smile to your face anyway. So yeah, she just helped me refine all of that.
Right. And that goes against what we're all taught, you know, to speak and write in the first person. You're actually speaking about yourself in the third person, which we're told not to do that when we're creating a website.
Are we?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, I don't know whether I was taught that. I also kind of just, yeah, do my own thing.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I had a client from Melbourne call a couple of weeks ago and say that they just Googled Castlemaine photographers because they were meeting up. Their team was meeting up and this was a central place. And he said, you know, your website stood out because, he said, the language made me feel like I already knew you. And he said, and I looked at your images and you just have a real connection with people, and it's obvious that you make people feel really comfortable. And so, yeah, met his team in Castlemaine for lunch, and then we went out and did a bunch of portraits for their website.
Fantastic. That's so good.
Yeah.
In one of those emails, or one of the sentences in those emails that you shared with me, you said that when you rebranded, it gave you the confidence to put yourself out there. But I mean, I get the sense from talking to you and seeing the video that you sent me as well, that you don't lack confidence. So how did the brand change that?
I hide it well, Andrew.
Really?
Hide it well.
Really? You do?
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't feel confident, or you do now?
I think it's taken a long time to build it and to be confident in, yeah, I suppose the way I work. And rather than letting clients sort of tell you what they want, I tell them how I work and we work out whether we suit each other. Yeah. And look, I do things in my own time. And I think also leaving Sydney really helped do that, because it took a lot of pressure out of our lives. So, you know, we just weren't coping with the constant noise and the traffic and just the grind of it. And here, yeah, the financial pressure pre-COVID wasn't as huge as it was in Sydney. And, you know, we've got a beautiful network, beautiful community, and Adam and I and the kids have just thrown ourselves into life here. And I think, you know, this is my opportunity to make my business work. Pre-COVID was my thinking. And I'm just going to be me and do my thing. And that's, you know, there's a lot of photographers around. There's a lot of photographers in this area, but everyone has their look, their feel, their approach. And I think I've sort of built a reputation for just making people feel really comfortable.
I like that. So that confidence, do you feel like you do have that now because of your brand, or your brand like just allows you to be you now?
I think it's probably a combination, Andrew. Yeah, I suppose the branding was kind of, you know, it was the final coat, if that makes sense. Like, I've spent a long time working out what I want to do and how I want to do it, and it keeps changing. Like, you know, this year I don't think it's gone the way anyone thought it would go. And all my ideas that I mapped out for this year, yep, they're all in a pile and we're starting afresh.
Well, you can reuse those for next year, hopefully, or the year after.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Or maybe I'll just spin off in a completely different direction. Who knows?
So tell me about these bizarre shoots and what led to them.
So I'd been toying around with a few ideas for this year, which was kind of, I suppose, pop-up. So creating a set and doing it for a day and having people book in. And that, I think, was a spin-off from my personal projects I've been doing with my ladies dance group here, which is quite hysterical. And then COVID kind of put the kibosh on everything. And I felt I needed to come out swinging at the end of the year, even if it was only for one day. And Castlemaine has an old woolen mill, which is being developed into the most fantastic hub. So it's got a huge vintage bazaar. It's got a lot of businesses in that. It's got winemakers. It's got a brewery. It's got a cheesery. I don't know. What do you call that?
I don't know.
And a lot of artist studios, and there's architects and, you know, cabinet makers and printers. And yeah, it's an amazing center that's just growing. And Liz, who did my branding, actually branded the Castlemaine Vintage Bazaar. And if you want to see amazing branding, go and have a look. It's fabulous. So she created this fictitious character called the Baron, and the Baron runs the bazaar. And the Baron has giant signs around the Vintage Bazaar. It's like aisle one, thingamajiggies, and aisle number two, things you weren't looking for. And, you know, it's just, it's tongue in cheek, and it's really fantastic. And I thought, I approached them and said, you know, do you want to do not Santa photos, but like a Santa photos and do a bizarre set? And they were really excited. And then we got locked down again.
Who do you approach at the bazaar to present this idea?
I approached the manager of the bazaar.
Right. So it's like a shopping centre manager. Is it the same sort of thing, but it's on a smaller scale?
No. So the Vintage Bazaar is like a huge old warehouse space, and you rent a stall. And so people have either filled it with, you know, secondhand records, vintage clothing. It has to be secondhand. So it's kind of, I don't want to use the word antiques, but, you know, every stall is quirky. Every stall has its look and its theme. You know, there's mid-century stalls, and there's, you know, 80s stalls and beautiful French farmhouse stalls. And, you know, it's a bit of everything. Like, you go in there and walk around, you're like, oh, my God, my nan had that. Oh, my dad used to have one of those. And it's just a treasure trove. And I just thought, well, let's make a set that looks like that for, you know, a Christmas pop-up. And she was really keen.
Right.
Yeah.
So did you have a space picked out, or did you just think she'll find a space for me?
No, I kind of gave her the list of what I needed. So I was like, you know, I need access to power, because not all the stalls have PowerPoints. I needed to be easy to find. I needed to have a bit of space so that I could light, and I needed to be able to block access when I wasn't there. And then, yeah, someone moved out of a stall, and it was just perfect timing.
Okay. So you get the stall. She says yes. Is there a cost to you to do this?
No, there wasn't, but we did share marketing costs. So the cost for someone to create some social posts for us, create posters and banners and signage. So all of those things.
Did Liz do all those things?
She did, yeah.
Okay. So she just built in her, she charged you guys split those costs.
That's it, yeah.
Right, okay. I just want to take you back to that meeting. So what's the lady's name, the manager?
Jane.
So you go and speak to Jane. She liked this. Does she say yes right away? And do you present a plan to her or does she say, leave it with me, I'll come back to you?
No, we had a bit of a casual chat and I showed her. You've got to remember, this is a small town, Andrew.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very relaxed. And I showed her a few images I'd collected along the way. And I think the other thing to keep in mind is that Castlemaine has a reputation as being a little bit different and people are up for, you know, a bit of fun. We love to dress up. There's always themed events and, yeah, I'm trying to think if I can think of an equivalent in Sydney, but it escapes me at the moment. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's a fun town. We love a bit of silly. We love a bit of dress up. It's not stuffy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and look, the way that I presented it to Jane was I said, I've never taken my kids to have their photo taken with Santa. I couldn't think of anything worse. But I have this vision of, you know, building something and people would turn up in their matching parachute tracksuits or their terrible 80s jumpers. And she's like, I'm so in. I'm so in. And so we just kept touching base and it kept changing because of lockdown and COVID restrictions. And we'd already picked the dates. And I think it was about maybe 4 or 5 weeks out and we still didn't know whether people would have to wear masks. And so I said to her, look, I think I'm just going to go for it. You know, the idea is, I'd come up by then with the idea that we would make it a sort of COVID themed set. And I said, if we have to wear masks, we have to wear masks. You know, that's the year.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, so she was really enthusiastic and she was also very much like, I'll leave you to it.
Unreal. Okay, let me fire a couple of quick questions at you. First of all, the marketing costs for Liz, how much was that roughly?
Look, it was pretty small, actually. I think all up we probably spent about $500-$600.
Each?
No, in total.
Oh, total. Okay, awesome, unreal.
Yep.
And I imagine if I was Jane, I would ask you, Penny, what's in this for you? So if she did ask you that, what was your answer?
Which she did ask because she's an astute businesswoman.
Oh.
So for me, it was exposure. Like the Castlemaine Bazaar is well known. People travel from Melbourne and from surrounds to visit it because it's an amazing place. And for me, I said to her, it's access to your network and your marketing base. It just broadens that for me. I think our brands fit very well together. And I said to her, you know, it's not going to be a huge money-making exercise for me. It's more marketing. And she, you know, any different thing that they can use on socials to engage people and bring them in is a win for them.
Yeah, sure. So did you have to then promise or did you offer, hey, I'll give you a copy of every image to use for your Instagram feeds and your marketing?
No. So I gave them access to any that I had permission to share and they did use a few.
Permission given by your clients that you photographed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because not everyone wants their faces plastered all over social media.
Sure. Okay. So really, I mean, there wasn't a massive commitment from you to the bazaar, to Jane.
In what way?
I mean, financial. You weren't promising that, you know, the family home just to get in here and do this thing.
No, 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 no.
She wasn't getting a cut of the profits. She wasn't getting all your images. I mean, it was pretty complimentary.
It's creating buzz.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. And there was also a little element of, you know, in the lead up of, you know, shop for your props because I couldn't have props on hand for people because of COVID. And as I said to you before, I didn't want everyone to look the same. I wanted them to be them. And the bazaar has some pretty amazing outfits. So, you know, we were kind of encouraging people to source their outfits and props at the vintage bazaar.
Unreal. All right. Let me come back to marketing and getting the people in and how it all worked. But just let's fast forward. How successful was it?
It was really successful.
So I know 40 sessions.
Yeah. So I decided that I would do 2 weekends and I had 40 sessions and I just opened 1 weekend first. And then once that sold out, I opened the following weekend. And I think I only had 1 or 2 spots left up until the day before and then they went. So there was no sitting around twiddling my thumbs. I was busy, which is great. And I released a few photos after the first weekend and that then got a flurry of bookings because there's a lot of I want that.
Right, okay.
And I'm still getting people come up to me in town saying, oh, I just saw so-and-so's bazaar Christmas portraits. How can I book in? I want to do it. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. It's all packed up.
Wow. So could you have gone on longer or opened more days?
I think I could have, yeah. And I think because it was the first time, people didn't really know what to expect. And now that they've seen it, I think, yeah, I could have done longer. And I think in hindsight, next year, I hope to do it again and have a different theme. But I'm thinking I'll probably have an opening weekend where I do Saturday and Sunday. And then the next weekend, maybe do Saturday. The following weekend, do the Sunday. And then maybe one evening, but I didn't know how it would work. And I also think I was slightly unprepared for how exhausting it is because you're just on
yeah,
all day and then back again the next day.
Absolutely. Killer. So what was the cost for families to get involved and book a session?
So I kept it really low. So it was $95 to book a session. And with that, you got to choose 2 files
right
from your online gallery.
Okay. And then could people or did they have the option to buy more if they wanted to?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. So I kept that pretty low as well. So it was $25 for any additional photograph after that.
And yeah, okay. Did most people take extras or was the 2 enough?
Yeah. So out of the 40 sessions, I had 32 buy additional files.
That's good.
Yeah. And the average was an additional 2 files. But look, the really lovely thing was that, you know, quite a number of my sessions were just a single parent. And so I love the fact that, you know, anyone on a budget could come in, have a shoot, $95. They know how much they're paying. They know what they're getting and they can walk away with 2 images. And then I had other families who bought 8 or 10 because they'd turned up with, you know, the grandparents or their sister and their sister's kids. And so, you know, then you've got that larger combination of people. So you've got to have one with just the grandparents and one with just the cousins and everyone all in. So, yeah, some people bought a bunch and some people just bought a couple.
Okay, awesome. So roughly, what, $6,000 over the 2 weekends?
Yes, yeah.
Cool.
A little bit more, I think, but, yeah, around that mark.
And is that where the I don't want to call it financial gain. Is that where the upside ends, you know, just with the money, or is there future prospects of working with these families again?
I hope there's future prospects. So every family left with a gift voucher for a family session, which was a real winner. So I had a few people tell me, you know, that they'd brought their parents along and their parents are like, she was really great. We're going to get her. Let's book in next year and do it, which is unreal. So I think I often assume, even though I'm probably a little left of centre, I am my client. Like I would be really nervous to go and have family photos done with someone who I'd never met. And so now they've met me. They know how I work. And people are always really nervous about their kids, you know, that they're not going to do the right thing. And I'm like, if they start climbing the walls, that's awesome. That's your kid. Like I had, you know, kids who never sat down and I don't want twee photos of them sitting down with little, you know, their hands on their knees because that's just not them. So I just encouraged everyone to just let me roll with it and see what we got. And, yeah, everyone was happy. So
premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
Okay, just quickly, why not book project? Why aren't you keen on them?
Oh, it's about a four-hour conversation, Andrew.
Come on, give us the short version. Why don't you like book project? Have you done one?
No, I haven't done one.
Just don't like the idea of it.
They just make me really uncomfortable.
They do?
It's just going to freak people out. Yeah. Look, I just tend to do things in my own way and it doesn't sit with me.
Okay.
There's a lot of things that don't sit with me.
Well, Penny, first of all, massive thanks for coming on and doing this. I know that I had to encourage you to come on and record this. So massive thanks for doing that. It's been nothing but fun. So thank you so much.
No, well, thank you very much for asking me. I felt quite thrilled that my little bizarre Christmas project was of interest to anyone else. So
absolutely. Here's to a big 2021.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Hope you enjoyed that interview with Penny. And Penny, if you're listening, thank you so much for coming on, sharing everything you did. I love the idea of these mini sessions and I truly love chatting to you and hearing all about how things are going in your new location. And I'm looking forward to hearing updates throughout the year and following up with a future interview to see how you really have settled in and to hear about your booming business. Now, for you, the listener, I do hope you got a ton from what Penny had to share. If you do have a follow-up question for Penny and you're a premium member, you can hit her up inside the members Facebook group. Feel free to tag her or I will so she'll see your question or comment. If you are listening to the free version of the podcast, you can hit Penny up on any of her social media accounts. I've got details in the show notes. And there's also a comment section at the bottom of the show notes if you want to use that instead. Now, the show notes this week are at photobizx.com/404. And in those show notes, I've got examples of Penny's photos from the bazaar sessions and also some of her branding work. If you're a premium member, you'll also see the newspaper clipping that she was referring to in the interview, which came about as a result of her press release. It's all there in that one spot. And one thing that Penny didn't get a chance to mention was a big thanks to Christy Amos, who did help her with brainstorming ideas for these mini sessions. So she really wanted to mention Christy in the interview, didn't get a chance to get that in somewhere. So a big shout out to Christy. I've linked to her in the show notes as well. If you want to speak to her about setting up your own mini session campaign and bouncing some ideas around. Alrighty, we're going to jump into the two audio updates from Scott and Nicolette, who are currently working with Mark Rossetto.
Hi everyone, it's Scott and Nicolette here, giving you an update from Dreams and Colour Photography.
Hello!
So in the last week and a bit since our last update, we gave our notice to all but one of our real estate clients, so we'll finish up at the end of February. Doing so gave us the chance to look back on the last 6 years, and it's really not that bad a job. We actually like the people, which is kind of surprising. Who'd have thought real estate agents are just people too? But we just endlessly got ourselves into situations we shouldn't have, like with pricing and favors for clients and that sort of stuff. But considering it was our first job and we were straight out of uni, we learned a lot about how not to run a business. So there are certainly benefits to having done this before the portraiture studio we're launching now. We had another session with Mark. We confirmed the brochure layout, so that can hopefully go out to the printers today. I think we did a pretty awesome job, if we may say so ourselves. Mm-hmm. We went through the landing page for the big official launch giveaway, and there's only a few changes we need to make there, just mainly like with qualifying clients and stuff like that. We ran through how we want to take bookings for deposits for free shoots and that kind of stuff. And we just need to tee up a time now with Kylie Garner to help us with the Facebook ads. Her results in the Master Your Marketing group are pretty damn impressive with regards to the spend and the return people are getting. So that should be good.
Yeah, and then Mark thought it was important for us to go and have something going as soon as possible to show we are open and having some interactions with our followers, let them see our faces and get to know us a bit more on screen. So we're to do a little promo for our current followers. So we're doing a $50 for 50-hour promo that gets them a session and $185 credit to spend on products. So see if anything happens with that. So we're going to post that now as we speak. We did our second family outdoor shoot. I think it was like last week or so. and the photo turned out really, really good. It emphasizes why Mark promotes the idea of no threes after three, no fours after fours, etc. So considering trying to do an outdoor shoot at sunset with a three-year-old and a five-year-old, we're pretty happy with how it all turned out. All our sample products have now been ordered. We did two graphic albums, just the baby book and the go book, and all the wall art from BPro. We spent a lot of money, so looking forward to launching and getting some money back from that. We've got 9 wall art collections and hero pieces. So we confirmed the album layouts and wall art that we hadn't ordered yet and can't wait for everything to arrive.
Yeah, so Mark also recommended giving gift certificates to friends, clients, etc., so they can give them to their VIP clients just to try and get our name out there. And yeah, I guess it's like a alliance kind of thing, but just unofficial and happens a lot quicker. Yeah, so I've got to try and do that this weekend. Yeah, I think that was really all that happened there. So yeah, till next update then. Bye. Yeah.
See ya.
Well, that pretty much sums us up, Invisible. We didn't have a single person who wanted to spend $50 for a free shoot and $185 credit for a gift certificate. We did get quite a few new followers, like in our terms, quite a few. I think we got like 35 or so. So, yeah. But really, it's just like friends and family that are making our social accounts look better than they really are right now. So yeah, I just wanted to give you guys a quick little update before our diaries go live tomorrow. In sporting terms, you say the coach earns their money at halftime in a game. And I think we can safely say we are in that halftime break right now. Really, I'm just trying to heap the pressure onto Mark, like just to try and find out what he's made of. And maybe if the pressure gets that much, he might just want to give us some free months of endurance coaching so we don't make him look bad. We can only try, I guess. So yeah, what else? We got our brochures delivered and they look pretty awesome. We're really happy with them. So we've got everything we need to start our real estate alliances soon. We've got like, you know, like the gift cards, the brochures, and then the letters and all that sort of jazz. Actually, we don't have the envelopes yet. So we have to get those. But yeah, so I mean, despite no one actually knowing us, hopefully this can get people like interested in our photography business. Yeah, and then also hopefully in the next fortnight or so, we can also launch our major giveaway and get some more people following us in our socials. And then, yeah, I don't know, maybe we'll actually be able to get people who are interested in the second prize draw things of like a $400 voucher or so and then actually get them spending money. But yeah, fingers crossed, hey. Yeah, so I don't want to be too much of a juicy dangler, but by the time you hear our next update, it'll be either make or break, I guess. Yeah, so it's Scott here from Dreams and Color Photography. Till next time. Bye.
Absolutely love those updates from Scott and Nicolette. I hope you're enjoying these as well. Now, again, if you have a follow-up question for Scott, Nicolette, or Mark Rosetto, hit them up in the members Facebook group or in the comments area of this week's show notes. That is it for this episode of the podcast. I hope you are staying safe, healthy, and well. I'll be back next week with another interview on the scheduled day, as per usual. Until then, have a fantastic week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.